Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hi, I'm Angela Felix with High Hopes Radio. And I know you're probably thinking, High Hopes who? Because we are just launching today. So before I introduce you to my first guest, I want to tell you a little bit about how High Hopes Radio came about. So I run my mouth a lot on LinkedIn. And in doing so, I met a wonderful lady named Lori Corrigan. If you don't know her, you should be following her. She is the snake charmer. She's a men's Brazilian waxer. Great stuff, great stuff. And she introduced me at the LinkedIn local to Karen Nowicki, who is the president of Phoenix Business Radio X. And at the time, I was working nights. I have kids myself, so working nights was difficult. It was stressful. I was depressed a little bit, and I was trying to figure out my purpose and was I really doing what I was passionate about. And my friend Karen, that I met through Lori, said, well, why don't you come on down and talk to us about maybe co-hosting a few shows? See if, you know, if you like it. So I did. I drove down, and it's quite the drive. But I drove down to Tempe here to talk to her. And we were brainstorming a little bit. And she said, well, if money wasn't a factor, what would you do? And I sat there, and it's almost kind of pathetic. But I sat there and I said, I don't know. I've never dreamed. I've always only survived. I have never chased my passion. So I don't know what my passion is. And so then I just said, well, maybe I guess. She said, what do you like? So what do you like? And I said, well, I like American Idol. And she said, well, why? I said, I like watching people's dreams come true. There is no better feeling than watching someone go out there and make it happen. So she said, well, why don't you do a show? And why don't you pursue that passion of helping other people make their dreams come true? And I explained to her, I said, you know, I'm almost 40. I feel a little bit too old for that. And she said, you know, it's never too late. Why don't you use this platform? So with that, I want to introduce you to my good friend, Joe Mamora, but I've got to tell you how I met him. Again, running my mouth on LinkedIn because I do it so well. Some of you probably disagree that are listening from LinkedIn. You probably wish I'd shut up. But so I met Joe and he said, hey, Angela, you know, you're in technology, you're in security. Women in cybersecurity is something, you know, I'm looking for at my conference. I'd like you to be an advisor. And I said, sure, let me take a look. Let me do it. I didn't have a lot of time. I was, you know, learning a new job with a new company. So then he said, you know, hey, rather than just being an advisor, I want you to come talk for me. I want you to come tell your story about how you chase your happiness. So long story short, there's a rant goes back about a year and a half ago on LinkedIn about finding yourself and maybe appreciating who people are for more than just their titles and actually what they do. So with that, I want to introduce you to my good friend, Joe Mamora. He is the founder of Future Workforce Foundation. So Joe, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what Future Workforce Foundation does?
Yes. Yes. And first of all, thank you for that introduction, Angela. And I wanted to also thank Karen and everybody here at Phoenix Business Radio X for hosting or having me on here and letting me come out here, talk about our foundation. So to introduce myself and to introduce our foundation, Angela said, my name is Joe Mamora. I'm one of the co-founders and executive director for Future Workforce Foundation. We are as she said, we were kind of newly formed a 501c3 nonprofit, and we started in late 2018. And our mission is we seek to provide the K-12 aged youth with the means to make informed decisions about their future, whether that be through workforce and career training or through education or through education. Our organization, we want to produce a nationwide series of educational and interactive expos that will connect these students in the underserved and underfunded school districts in the areas to national and regional employers and educators. So
can I ask you, and just from a parent point of view, underfunded, underserved, what does underserved mean?
Well, so underserved can be anywhere from, you know, if you have, let's use Phoenix, for example, and something like Surprise or Peoria, sorry. But, you know, it's when something comes to town and, you know, it's easy to look at Mesa, right? I mean, most of the students are in Mesa and it's easy to it's low hanging fruit to get those students and pull in X amount of number of students to these expos. what I want to do is I want to work, you know, I want to sit there and find those underserved students that do not normally get to these expos. And that goes along the umbrella of underfunded as well, too, who can't afford to come to these expos. Gotcha. and see that. So,
okay. Yeah. So then I have to ask, because most of the time when we have a passion, right, it's coming from someplace. So what happened in your childhood, or maybe your child's childhood? What, where did this come from? Like, how did it even come about? Like, tell me the story behind that.
No, great question. I mean, you know, as parents, you know, Angela, and I know you can relate. We have these countless, you know, what a great idea moment, or something, you know, why didn't I think of that? Or, somebody should do something like that moment, you know, sure, while we raise our kids. And, you know, one day my son and I, we attended a college fair, and a local college fair, and absolutely busy event. And, you know, there were tons of colleges in the expo, and they were all staffed with their local representatives in the booths. And, you know, we made our little list of colleges that we wanted to see and planned to see and speak with. And we did. And we even visited a couple others that weren't on the list. And, you know, the conversations, they were simple, you know, very high level, simple, sure, pretty typical college fair. And we may have stayed for a couple hours. And as we started to leave, you know, my son kind of turned to me and asked, you know, Dad, what if I don't want to go to college right away? You know,
no,
and
he did not.
Let me tell you, I you know, for me, it was just kind of like I stopped. You know, we were walking towards the exit. I stopped and I said, you know, I was thrown back. I was honestly thrown back because I turned to him and I said, you know, what do you mean? You know, right, we're here at a college fair. You
I've
mentioned
got the 529 you wanted yeah, set up. You're going to college.
I've already applied for FAFSA. You know, I mean, you know, all this was already done. And, you know, I mentioned him. I was like, you know, we're here. You expressed a desire to go. And I'm like, what do you mean? I kept asking him, what do you mean? I don't know how many times. And, you know, because in my mind, I was thinking to myself, the only path was to go to college, you know, right. And I paused again and I listened to myself say that again. I'm like, in my mind, you know, your only path was to go to college. And I had to pull myself back and I said, you know what, this choice, it wasn't about me, you know, right. And I had to sit there and take myself out of the equation and realize that this was about my son. And I kind of glanced at the college fair or the colleges that were in attendance at that fair. And the one thing I noticed that out of the 200 plus colleges that were, you know, in exhibiting there at the expo, I may have noticed one or two ROTC programs, and then maybe times two that for vocational schools, maybe. But in general, not very many options to explore. So, you know, I took that college fair day. I went back to the co-founder of our organization here, and he's our board president as well, too, Jeff Short. You know, I initially kind of came to him with, you know, hey, let's do a K-12 tech conference, you know, techs, you know, it's just booming. Everybody's attracted to technology. But then basically when we started talking about it more and more, the tech conference became like a total workforce / educational conference, and, you know, became what it is now. But, you know, they're still flowing in. Ideas are still, sure, flowing in. We're still kind of new, but what we have kind of for a base to start off with and kick off with is absolutely incredible.
Okay. So did you go to college? Is that kind of why you thought that should be the path that he should take? Because I know a lot of times as parents, right, yep, we want to push our kids in the direction that we didn't go because, right, we think like that's what you need to do. So was it his path or your path?
Well yeah. If I'm being brutally honest here, it was my path. I mean, because I didn't finish college. You know, I started, I did do my associates. I got my associates there, but I never went for the full four and, you know, experienced the beauty of college. And, you know, it was just kind of one of those things where for me in my past, you know, I grew up with everything but a silver spoon in my mouth. You know, it was pretty rough, you know, one of dozen kids, and we sat there and shared rooms. You know, it was a pretty, you know, there was a lot of love in the house, sure, but yeah, a good meal was a luxury at that, gotcha, point. But I mean, you know, so it was almost kind of one of those things that when you grow up, you know, a little underfunded, underserved, you don't want that for your kids. And right, so for me and my son, when I look at him and my daughter, you know, it was like college was like the only option, because, right, to me, you go to college, you get a degree, you get a great interview, and you get a great job, right, and, you know, 2.5 kids and two dogs or whatever. And,
well, you look at a lot of, yeah, just job applications, right? And automatically the first thing they want to know is your degree. So it's embedded in us from, right, the time that we start, even our first job, right? I was a Sonic car hop. but they wanted to know, do you have a college education? Like, right. Why would a Sonic Car Hut mean? Right. But, you know, I mean, a high school diploma, I thought would suffice. But, yeah. I mean, there's other paths to take. So I think that's amazing that you're doing that.
Yeah. Yep.
But I got to say, so I know that you could mentor your son, right? And you could send him on the path that you've taken, and you could do entrepreneurship with him, and you could show him all the different ropes. But you're taking a different route with that, and you want to teach everybody. You want to teach all the children like my child. I have a special needs child, right? So that's why this is very near and dear to me, because I know that my child, if he does go to college, it will probably be community college. That's what the school themselves has told him his path is community college. So right. It's something that's important to me, because I don't know that my son will go and get a degree. He may join the military. He may follow in, you know, his grandfather's footsteps and try to open his own business, maybe cars. So I think, you know, giving those other options to kids is important. But I want to ask you, why do you want to do that for so many people? Like, where is that passion coming from for everyone, but not just your child, that right. You could just take the responsibility for just your kid, but you're making it your responsibility for everybody's children.
Right, right. No, and, you know, for me, it's almost like that. You know, sometimes the easiest answers are right in front of you type of thing, right? So when it came down to kind of thinking about the idea for the foundation, it was almost comically simple, because we sat there and we were kind of thinking, wow, you know, who's looking after these kids, you know? So and how can we make it effective, you know, not just for the kids, but also for the people participating and sure. helping, you know, how can we make it beneficial for two parties? And, you know, for me, there's a good balance of businessmen, but I'm also, you know, I'm a dad, you know, I'm a dad, I'm a husband, I'm a father. And you know, I know that basically why we want to do this, right? I mean, why is it so passionate to me? I have as a nation, we have to sit there and put our youth as priority number one, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's, there's just no question about that. And anybody can argue with that, but nobody's going to win that argument. You know, every generation, I think, should always try and strive to leave the world a better place, for the generations that follow. And when you think back to our days in elementary school, middle school, high school,
I mean, those days. I don't want to think back to those days,
I'm just saying, I mean, you know, give yourself a second, think back.
I was part of the nerd herd.
It was so tough, right? I mean, you think back to on top of your normal K-12 studies, your body's changing, you know, the social aspect alone. And then you throw in, you know, social media nowadays,
sure.
and then you throw in bullying, either cyberbullying or physical bullying, sports, academic, athletic clubs, dating. It's just a massive
dose of
anxiety.
Well, not even that. In some of those communities, like you're talking about, the underserved and the underfunded, a lot of those kids are picking up jobs after school just right. to help contribute with their family finances,
right.
to help kind of keep things afloat. So, I mean, I don't want to say, you know, like myself, like I didn't dream. It was just mere survival. So I think that's good that not only are you giving them a path to survive, but at the same time, choose a dream while they're doing it.
Exactly. And that's the whole thing. I mean, we were kind of thinking, you know, that's just tough enough, right? High school, junior high. I mean, it's daunting enough. And you know, you throw in the fact that, like you were saying, what we want to specialize in, you know, you put in all that already that I mentioned, and then you throw in the fact that you attend a school that is either underfunded and or underserved.
Right.
I mean, that's just another, you know, layer of a crap sandwich you were dealt in life. You know what I mean? And that was just kind of something that I felt on a personal level, just the way I kind of grew up. I didn't have these options growing up. I didn't have these expos to attend when I grew up. And my son didn't grow up, even though he went to a pretty, you know, he went to a pretty nice school. He didn't have those options, or at least I don't remember them. So, I mean, it's kind of something I want to make sure somebody knows about, somebody, you know, takes advantage of, and then is able to make a very educated decision about their future afterwards. I mean, they matter a lot, right? I mean, our kids, those underfunded kids, those underserved kids matter a lot. It's so easy to cherry pick kind of the heavier and more populated school districts, but you telling me the next, you know.
And it's funny that you mention, you know, the different career paths, because I think about it, and I think there's a study out there somewhere that says most folks will have 2 to 3 careers in their entire lifetime. Now, when you're graduating high school and you're going to college, you're not thinking about that. You're thinking, I got to pick the thing that I'm going to do for the rest of my life.
Right.
When the reality is they're not picking the thing that they're going to do for the rest of their life. And most likely they'll probably only do it for 5, maybe 10 years if they get the balls to get out and say, I'm not passionate about this. I'm going to go chase my dream now. So, I mean, why now? Why do you want to do this right now? So why do you think that this is going to help right now? Like, what is it that's kind of the catalyst behind this at this moment?
The time is going to always be right, right? I mean, to me, it's just kind of anytime you can help out the kids, anytime, you know, you can put them first and look out for their futures, that's always going to be the right time, you know. But it's kind of that we want to get them excited and let them know, especially like I was saying, in the underserved and underfunded communities, they may or may not know about most of these options that are out there. All these, you know, paths and career opportunities and or educational opportunities, they might not know about. I mean, I think we were talking about it the other moment. and you know, it was kind of like, well, we were just using a farm, for example,
right,
you know, you grow up on a farm that's family run for centuries, and you are expected to run that farm after mm-hmm. your parents, you know, passing on to you. However, let's just say you're the next Zuckerberg, right? You're the next Gates. But I mean, you are embedded in this farm life,
sure,
because
absolutely.
You all have this, you know, this commitment to your family. But at the same time, you can really do some good in technology. Mm-hmm. And it's a total polar opposite to farm. I mean, you know, at least on paper, it looks like a polar opposite to farming. But I mean, how would you not know about your talents unless you fully are able to,
right.
you know, and that's what I want to do. I want to get that kid in that underserved or underfunded community or, you know, wherever he or she may lie. I want to get them over to our expo. I want them to talk to, you know, the Googles, Apples, Facebooks out there. If they can blow their minds, you know, maybe farming's going to become your safety net, you know, or maybe that can be an additional option to your future, but at least they know they have more.
Or
than
that's their retirement plan, right?
There you go.
Maybe they, you know, do something big and then they fall back and retire and then
yeah.
help in the family farm. So,
yeah. But I mean, you know, the thing is, I mean, all these paths and technology, I mean, you know, they're wonderful. The people that we plan to have in the building are going to be wonderful employers. I mean, they're regional and national, but, you know, again, like if you're way out, you know, in the sticks, how are you going to know about this
right.
stuff?
Right. So. Well, your life is going to be farming.
That is true. That it will be.
Or
your life.
A distribution center of some. You'll be doing something
yeah.
at a commercial level.
Yeah, that will be your life. But no, I mean, you know, I did have two big whys of why and why now. You know, and I did kind of touch on the why, and that was about, you know, putting our youth priority
right.
number one. The second why have here, and it's not part of my mission, it's kind of a added benefit that our organization does, but you know, it's the assistance in helping, you know, the major shortage in U.S. labor. You know, the labor shortages in U.S. right now are bad. I mean, they're really bad, and I think I read at one point, you know, there were several points last year in 2018 that there were more job openings than there were unemployed. Now I know that's all market numbers, you know,
sure.
doing a roller coaster and whatnot, but when we're looking at nurses and doctors, you know, the people that we rely on to save our life and death situations, they're suffering from burnout because
right.
the shortages of nurses and doctors.
Well, wearing multiple hats, right? I mean, your registered nurse that's usually a supervisor nurse is now doing triage.
Yeah,
because
that
shortage,
moonlights as an MD. You know what I mean? It's
right.
kind of it's bad. But then, you know, you tie that to first responders, you know, the police force, fire, Coast Guard, EMT. I mean, I think I also read, you know, up in the Northwest where Alaska Airlines, you know, they think they were offering their pilots major bonuses to delay their retirement because there was a pilot shortage. And when we're looking at that, I'm kind of thinking, boy, you know, you can join the Air Force, you know, fly
right.
planes. It doesn't mean you're going to sit there and go right to war. I mean, you can join the Air Force, learn, you know, you can learn how to be a pilot, be a certified pilot, and
sure.
then come out and you can fly planes.
Sure.
I mean, for a very lucrative career. But again, it's all stuff that...
Just keep in mind you're at the needs of the military. For anyone thinking about that, I just want to let you know that. I've been there, done that, but not in the Air Force, in the Army.
I have nothing but love for our military. And I expect them, if you're listening, military, to be at our events. Thank you. But yeah.
All right. So one of the things I want to say... about what you're doing. Okay, so I mentioned that I have a special needs kid, and we talk about, you know, these programs and stuff. So what when I look at my child and I say, what's his future look like for me? I just want him to be happy, right? Of course, that's every mother's. I just want him to be happy. I just want him to fit in. I want him to have a few friends. He doesn't have to have a lot, but I want him to really like what he's doing. And when I think about that, I think about how you mentioned, you know, nobody tells them what there is. You know, they can go see a college advisor. They can, you know, sit down and pick some classes together, but nobody really tries to find those kids' special passion. We're just trying to get them through the day and get them out the door and onto the diploma, you know, grabbing their diploma. So for you, as far as how you plan to do this, how are you going to pull this off?
Right. No. And, you know, just to touch on that, I think that when it comes down to special needs, it's just like women in the workforce. I don't want there to be that glass ceiling, you know, whether it be for women, whether it be for special needs, handicap, whatever. You know, there is something in this world for everybody. I mean, we have an infinite amount of job titles that we can give to anybody. And I really don't want I don't wish for anybody to be limited by any sort of ceiling.
And is there anything out there, and I know you probably did your research, and I don't mean to jump off track here, but is there anything out there already that's similar to what you want to put together? What have you found that's even touches what you're doing?
Sure. Yeah. No, there are. We find that there are some. They're mainly just, they don't run a nationwide gotcha. Like we plan to do. But I think that they're more regional, and they're a little smaller. I mean, the ones I want to bring are just, I mean, we're talking Finnish Convention Center, main hall, right. You know, pull out all the stops. I mean, I want hundreds and hundreds of exhibitors and thousands of students to come by, take advantage of this, you know? So I want to basically take the smaller events that maybe a city is doing, and I want to just include them, help me build up to a massive, you know.
So tell me, walk me through. I want to know, and I should have asked you this early, but tell me what your vision of that event looks like. Describe that for me. I want to know what that looks like.
Sure. No, and, you know, like I just said, so it is going to be a nationwide series. You know, one of the things that I want to do is, you know, size does matter for me on that, because I want to first work with like a state's education department. You know, I've been contacted a couple so far. I've reached Phoenix. Washington is another one. But Phoenix is high on my list because, well, you're here, you know, and you help me. You help me. You know, I work with people that help
sure.
me. But, you know, and plus Phoenix is just an awesome market that we are really looking forward to coming to. But, you know, what we want to do is we want to first work with those education departments, most likely like the CTE coordinators and their staff. And we want to determine the schools and the school districts in need, you know, that are underserved, underfunded. But then we also want to work with them to help us determine a good timeline for the expo as well, too. And then we want to also research the area. You know, we want to research Phoenix, and we want to make sure the right employers and the right educators are coming to basically communicate, talk to, and educate the youth that'll be on there. And the floor plan that we have, you know, it's going to be just like I was saying, the Phoenix Convention Center, massive open floor plan. And we're just going to break them off by sections. And they're going to have these big sections there that have the career and or educational pathways. So, for example, one section will have of the floor plan, you're going to see all things healthcare, you know, okay. So you're going to have the students, if they are interested in anything remotely related to healthcare, they can go over to that section and they can learn from a local or a national medical university or two,
gotcha.
And they can figure out what pathways they can take to become a nurse or a doctor or anything. So
what you're saying, so you're not necessarily looking to say, no, don't go to college. That's not what we're here for. We're not saying don't go to college and get a degree, but we want to let the folks know that you don't necessarily have to be forced down a path of a 4-year degree that there are. And just for example, you and I talked about earlier, when I had my little whim, I thought I was going to go be a firefighter. You guys, I don't know what I was thinking. They were hot, whatever. Anyway. So I signed up for the Glendale. There's a firefighter program. And so you would be doing things like that. So for folks that are interested in EMT and basic life support, you're not looking to take away from colleges. You're not looking to steer people away from a 4-year degree. But what you want to showcase is there are other options for career paths where you can chase and you can help and you can do what you want to do without having to obtain a piece of paper that says you're certified to do that. There are other options for you is basically what it sounds like a lot of what you're doing, not just what you're doing, but a lot of it.
Absolutely. You know, and like I said, we're still kind of, you know, open booked on this right now, you know, as far as how we want to have the, you know, the companies and everybody, the sponsors interact with the youth. But, you know, we're kind of thinking it's kind of like if I pull in the local fire, you know, Phoenix Police Department, you know, the fire department here, let's bring in a fire truck. You know, we're going to have the room in the expo hall. Let's bring in a fire truck. Let's let the youth try on the you know, all their gear.
I wish someone had told me to try it before I signed up for that course, because I quit on day two. I puked in the low crawl. I was done. I was completely done.
on that note, so if the kid does do that and they absolutely don't want to, you know, join the fire department, they can go walk over to the Army, you know, rock climbing wall like you did.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about, Joe.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, if that's not your passion, then go on to something else. Right. You know, we're going to have it in the room, or our plan is to have it in the room. But, you know, we don't want to limit somebody to what either their parents have expected of them. And honestly, you know, their peers, and honestly too, within themselves, you know, I, one of the biggest things I want to challenge all the youth to sit there and think beyond what they have in their mind. You know, it's like, oh, I'm going to be a police officer when I grow up. You know, that's just said and done. I mean, but what if you're a better Secret Service agent? What if you're a better, you know, colonel in the Army or something? You know what I mean? It's just kind of, there are so many other paths that if you don't at least explore them and go to an expo like the one I'm kind of talking about. I mean, what if like 20 years down the road, you sit there and wake up one day? Like me?
Is that what you're saying?
Thanks, Joe. I didn't say that. You love what you do.
I love what I do now. Now that I'm in sales, I can say I've put my support hat down for quite a while and I am done. I'm not going to pick it up, but yes, me.
Which was funny, and to go all the way back to the very intro, that is exactly why I actually reached out to you, because of your article that you wrote, and you said, I think your talk at my tech conference was "Do what you love to do."
Yes,
I think it was something like that. That title, but that's kind of something I was passionate about. You know, that I wanted to see, because you know I find myself many times, you know, second guessing what I'm doing or second guessing what I want to do. You know, and if there's any chance I can change the life and just one kid's life in every city that we go to, I consider my event a success. So
I was going to ask you that. It's funny you said so for success for these events. How does that look for you? How are you going to assess that? I know that's I haven't even had an event, so you even know how it's going to go. But right. I mean, obviously, if you want to get these folks to invest in this event, there's going to be some type of ROI for everybody. So what is that success look like? Whether it's emotional, and you mentioned for you what it's going to look like, but how does that success look for other folks that invest in this event?
Yeah, no, I mean, for me, it was that personal level. You know, I'm also, it's kind of one of those things where, gosh, you're running a nonprofit and you hate to think of it almost as a business, you know, but it does have to be a business in the sense that you need to sit there and be able to run something successful so that you can bring it somewhere else, you know, and I have to look at it that way. So there has to be some sort of ROI for myself. But when I look at that, I just kind of look at that with a student's benefit as well as, you know, what are sponsors and exhibiting benefits, you know, it's kind of tough to measure that simply because unless you're maybe a gaming conference, you know, you're not going to get those kids to sit there and purchase stuff. Maybe Starbucks will buy some coffee, but you know, the kids these days, you know, the youth, especially the younger you get, I mean, they're not going to be your main source of, you know, ROI on that as far as a monetary value. Sure. But I think that when we prep them for the future, I mean, that's ROI enough.
Right.
I mean, our name alone, future workforce, yeah. Right? These sponsors, these exhibitors, these companies in the building talking to these kids are talking to their future workforce,
right?
Whether it be, you know, 20 years down the road or 2 years down the road.
When we think about just what we're doing every day, right? I mean, the reason why I get up and go to work every day is it's not just to provide for my children, but to show them a life and show them how to build their life. So, I mean, it's like you said, the return is our children. I know that there's folks out there that don't have kids, so maybe they don't necessarily see the benefit of that, but they'll have nieces, they'll have nephews, they'll have friends that have kids that they can talk to about it.
Right. And that's the thing. It's these, you know, to those of you out there listening that don't have kids and maybe they can't see that, that value. I mean, maybe you would look at it to the fact that when you look at where you're at working right now, and maybe you're older, maybe you're younger, who knows, but let's just say you look at this next generation of people coming into the workforce. You know, it's easy to shrug off somebody and say, like, oh, here's a millennial.
Right.
That is today's workforce.
Right.
You know, it is today's workforce, yeah. You know, and you can bash them all they want. They're not going anywhere.
Well, they know what's going on. I'll tell you.
They are probably they are probably some of the smartest kids that you've ever met. I mean, they are doing things today that we only dreamed of when we were their age, you know? So it's kind of one of those things that I think that you have to embrace it. I mean, there are some people that don't like it. You know, I know ageism is a big thing right now, but the fact of the matter is there's one thing that you can never stop from happening is time, right? So we're all going to get older and we're all going to retire and stop working someday. And somebody's going to come in and work right behind us. And, you know, right now they could be, you know, learning their ABCs right now, or they could be.
And for the parents that think that their child is going to run their family farm, if I'm here to tell you, my father thought I was going to run his auto shop. That did not happen. I took the first bus to Fort Jackson as soon as I could. So, I mean, yeah, planning for our kids to kind of take over the future, just make sure it's what they want, because otherwise, if that's your backup plan, like for your kid to run your business, it might not happen.
Right, right. And you know, I definitely want to make it clear, you know, I am definitely not anti, you know, tradition and everyone not, you know, I am definitely not. And if I did offend somebody out there that, you know, was working on a farm, I do apologize. But, you know, my thought in it all is, you know, I had to take this to a personal level, and I had to say, I had to take myself out of that. When we were at that college fair, I had to take myself out of that, and I had to take my past out of it. And I had to take all my failures and all my what ifs and all my, God, one day I want to be, you know, I had to take all that out, and it was hard. It was harder than I thought. And I had to make it at a split second decision just like that before we left, because I needed to let him know that what he was feeling wasn't wrong to question me if he didn't want to go to college. I had to make him know that that wasn't wrong to feel that way. But at that same split second, I needed to know, well, gosh, if college wasn't your answer, what do I do?
Right.
So I didn't have that. My problem was I didn't have that
didn't
answer
have
right
that
away.
Guidance.
Yeah. But, you know, we kind of thought about it. We kind of talked it out a little bit. And then that's when we started talking about trades. Actually, that summer, I believe shortly after, he ended up roofing for that, you know, and which is a trade. And when he was only a laborer, you know, he was a college kid doing labor and cleaning up scraps, but they were such a roofing shortage. I mean, they wanted him on full time. They wanted him to become certified. I mean, and I can imagine this is just one of thousands of stories where, you know, a kid right out of high school is sitting there, part of a cleanup crew for construction. But because the construction industry right now is so, you know, hurting for work, across the nation, you know, and think about electricians and, like I said, roofers, everything. It is not a surprise to hear, you know, a foreman or a boss or owner of the company approach some of these laborers and say, you know, what's your plans? You know, I can make you a fully certified electrician in X amount of time, no debt. I'll pay for your certification, you know, stuff like that, because there is that shortage across the nation. And that's why we wanted to do a nationwide event. You know, I understand that these smaller events do very, very meaningful and very impactful things. And I would more than happy partner with every single one of them. But, you know, I feel my benefit is to at least just open the eyes across the nation. Right. I mean,
so I want to ask you, and I know we talked about this a little bit earlier, but so we talked about a little bit about challenges. So what are you running into obstacle-wise? What are you seeing is being kind of roadblocks for this? I mean, it sounds phenomenal, right? Me as a parent, I'm in, right? Yeah. I want to jump on board, but I'm not the educational system that you have to convince to get on board. So tell me about some of the challenges you're facing.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I have friends in the nonprofit world and then, you know, I meet with every so often. We just kind of collaborate and talk, complain. Yeah, you know, we rant and rave and whatnot. Before we even started this, I read my nonprofit books and even read the whole Nonprofit for Dummies and whatnot. But phenomenal book.
Nonprofit too, for Joe.
Yeah, exactly. Seriously. But I mean, you know, it was crazy because, you know, I was cognizant of the fact that they mentioned that starting a nonprofit was going to, and starting and running a nonprofit was going to be hard work. Worth it, but very hard work. I read it as well, too, multiple times. It was going to be hard, fulfilling, but very hard work.
I'll get this.
I heard what they said, and let me tell you, it is hard. That would be
an understatement.
A big obstacle. Yeah, it's actually really hard. Daunting is my favorite word to use when I describe running a nonprofit. But you know what?
Like what? What do you face? Tell me. I want to know something you faced. And did you overcome it? Because that's important too. Like, I want to know how you're overcoming it if you weren't able to.
You're digging.
Sorry, I'm going off script, guys.
You're digging with the deep questions here, Angela. You're making me. No, I'm just kidding. One of my biggest obstacles would kind of almost be one of the bigger surprises that we had. And I'm not gonna put any city or whatever on blast over the air. But you know, I do get surprised when I reach out to a state or a city. I ask them, you know, their educational department, saying, I ask them if there is even a need for an event like ours, and then how we can help, you know, or if there's underserved communities in there. And I would get, you know, a hard no. I'm like, oh, you know, and I have to wear two different hats with that, you know, because I do have a salesman in me hat, but then I also have a nonprofit hat. Yeah. So the salesman hat wants to ask that uncomfortable, tough question, honest question. It's like, why? You know, you're telling me no because every school in your state or city is well funded and you have zero need for, you know, a college.
And as a parent, I know that's not true. I'm not bashing. I love my school district, but I can tell you right now, the fact that I have to buy school supplies for multiple children tells me that they are definitely underfunded.
Which is why Phoenix is on the map. But no, I mean, it's kind of one of those things where I have had markets tell me straight up, they were just like, no, there's not a need. And like I said, the first question to me is, oh my gosh, you know, that's in my mind, but you know, the nonprofit in me, and again, this is me just trying to, maybe there's a different way I can ask it, but it's kind of like, I want to ask that question, but you know, I have to kind of be respectful of the fact that I am a nonprofit. You know, I can't force my agenda onto, you know, their already, you know, probably piled agenda. But
so maybe some of our listeners can give us some suggestions on how to overcome that obstacle. I know I've got some education friends out there can tell us how to get past y'all.
Exactly. And you know, my name is plastered all over this, you know, everything. So please reach out to me with any helpful suggestions, because I will take them.
All right. So now we talked a little bit about, you know, your how and your why. I want to know a little bit more about the benefits of participating, not just, I know you've got various levels of participation. Like I've been an advisor for you before on a different board, but so talk to me about what those roles with this future workforce organization would be for attendee, sponsor, local advisor. What does that look like? What does that mean? What's the benefit of that? Kind of wrap my head around that for me.
Sure. No, and so I kind of almost broke this down almost into three little sections for, you know, the benefits and whatnot that we can have for participating in our event. You know, to start, like we were kind of, like you just mentioned, you know, I recruited you for an advisory council for a technology conference.
Thank you, by the way.
But no, I would love to create local advisory councils across the nation on any market that has a need for this. I mean, if you're listening and interested, reach out to me. You know,
what would that role look like? So if someone said, yes, I'm interested in being an advisor, what would that entail for them?
Sure. So it's basically, you know, that local advisor knows the land better than I do. Right. I mean, I'm familiar with Phoenix just because I've been here many times. My aunt and uncle live out here. But, you know, you are the one that told me what school district you go to. You told me the largest school district. No. But basically, like, so I would, I mean, it's kind of a given. You're already on my advisor council for Phoenix. But, I mean, it's, you know, the lay of the land. You know, you also have that added, I have a special needs kid, sure, right? So he would, you know, she would fall under that umbrella of
So I see the need as a parent, right, whereas sometimes maybe the schools don't necessarily see that need. Yeah. But I see the need as a parent.
Exactly. And you know, the advisory council doesn't have to just be parents or just be people in the CTE or
who
just
would you
people.
Want? Who are you looking for? Like, if you looked at your, you said, this is who I envision on my advisory board. And you don't have to name people, obviously, but the types of personalities or
titles,
what they're passionate about. Yeah. Don't worry about titles, but the people that you're looking for, their heart, their core, who they are.
Yeah.
What do you want on your panel for advisors?
You know, I think like-minded. I mean, and let me tell you right now, that is probably one of the best questions you can ask. You know, I mean, it really, because ideally, and if you want a brutal honest truth, I want people that think the same way you and I do right now about this. You know, you thought about this so passionately that you wanted me to come here and talk about it. I thought about it so passionately that I flew out here to come talk about it.
I think it's because you people. And I want something different for our children than what we had, right?
Right.
And I don't think that that's far-fetched for anyone. Even successful people, sometimes they work so hard. I'll take my dad, for example, you know, looking back after his stroke, you know, he'll say things like he doesn't deserve to have me as a daughter. He didn't spend a lot of time with me and he did those things. And it's like he looks back and he wish he had taken a different approach too. So when you look at that, you have to say, you know, our kids really are why we do what we do every day. And for the folks maybe that don't have kids, I get it. They've got a bigger dream they're chasing. Maybe it's to help people like me whose dream is my kids, right? So Karen, that's one of the things she wants to do. She wants to help me help people. I want to help you help kids. So right.
No, and you know, it's an infectious good that I think should be spread around, you know, but it's
now differ that for me from a sponsor. So that's what you're looking for advisor. Yeah. Tell me what you're looking for in a sponsor. What does that role entail?
So for our sponsors, our exhibitors and everybody, for that, for the benefit for them is, again, to serve underfunded and underserved students. I mean, that's a benefit and a reward alone.
Absolutely.
You know, and that should actually be their first and foremost, you know, win, I think. And then also their whatever money they give to us, whether, you know, I haven't even wrote out a prospectus yet of you know, what boosts and whatnot are going to cost.
Sure.
But whatever money they give to us to sponsor these events, you know, it will help build these expos. I mean, the more money we get from companies, the more expos, of these we're going to do. So it's just kind of, you know, again, that infectious good that goes around. And they'll also, but also too, they'll have that benefit of, you know, guiding, educating and supporting their local youth that's in the area. Cause the people that I want working these booths, you know, I want them local, you know, the youths, you know, I want them sitting there working for the company that you work for, talking to other young women and men in audience to say, this is what I did to get here. You know, this is the roller coaster ride I took, you know, and these are my pitfalls and this is the educational path I took, you know, and maybe have it on a piece of paper, maybe not. I don't know, you know, but, or just have a conversation that way too. I mean, it is so different when you're reading something online, clicking a link and reading it. It just sits with you better if you have a conversation with somebody and have a conversation with somebody that is in the industry. I mean, you just, you take out that ones and zeros that's on a computer screen and you make it relatable, human right. Talking to human. It's like, dude, I really screwed up when I was younger,
right.
You know, but you know, I got caught this break and I went this route and you know,
or maybe
I
you didn't even screw up. Maybe,
or maybe
you
didn't screw up.
Right
maybe, yeah, maybe you,
you
maybe you were a straight
anyone.
A student and you know, wrote
you did
your own
thing.
Yeah, you wrote your
it wasn't
own.
Wasn't what you wanted to do.
Again, though, I mean, it's kind of one of those things that, you know, with the sponsors and the exhibitors in the house, you know, they got to feel good about showcasing, you know, their knowledge and their experience to these kids. I mean, that's really what they're showcasing is they're showcasing themselves. They're selling their experience and themselves to our youth to show them that this is a career option. And then, I mean, that's just, you know, one little sector. I mean, you were talking, you can have technology sectors and then military, you know, the need for military, the need for trades. A lot of those don't require college.
What
you know,
are some of the trades that you hope to have at these events? I know you've talked a little bit like you wanted to have Apple and some of the big names. The industries. What are some of the industries that you want to have there?
So the industries we're really looking for, I think would vary. I mean, I want X amount that are always there. But, you know, we're looking at the big ones, construction, manufacturing, healthcare. And then we also have like tourism and entertainment.
So you're not just going to need sponsors, advisor, and attendees. You're actually going to need participants that will help train these kids, though, during these events, right? So you're going to need, if you're planning on doing something with registered nurses, right, you're probably going to likely want registered nurses participating in that, I would imagine.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, if they're willing to come, great. If they're busy, I'm obviously not going to pull them off.
What do we call those? Volunteers? I'm trying to think of something, I mean, other than just attendee or sponsor or local advisor. There are other ways, it sounds like, to get involved to help.
Yeah.
More than just, you know, donating or more than something like that. But it sounds like, you know, you might need some help with the events too.
Well, I think one of the best people to get involved per company, trade, whatever. Obviously, when the military, you have your recruiters. Right. And they're awesome. And they're
great. That's what they do.
But when you're looking at companies, you know, we look at HR departments, recruiters, you know, talent acquisition specialists and stuff like that. You know, when you're a bigger company, a Fortune, whatever company, you usually have your own little section of,
gotcha,
this is my HR team and this is my talent acquisition team. So they kind of have a broad.
So you're welcoming kind of companies to participate if they want to do. Like, say, for instance, merrier. I worked at Bechtel Corporation, right? So if they have an engineering group. So mm-hmm. if they wanted to participate, they could reach out and say, hey, yeah. Joe, we're interested in being a part of your expo. Here's what our company does. Yeah. That they would just reach out to.
Yeah. And I mean, that's just the technology department. I mean, when you're looking at some of these bigger companies like Nike or Google or Starbucks or something, I mean, you can have Starbucks in the hospitality section of my floor.
Okay.
You could also have them in the technology section of my floor. It's like, I think like 20,000 IT people in Starbucks. But then you can also have them in manufacturing, right? Because right. I mean, there are electricians and there are...
There's a lot to keep in the lights on, right?
Of people that may not fit the quote unquote Starbucks mold of just serving coffee, but these people keep that $1 billion industry running every day. And that's right. Just Starbucks. You count Microsoft, Amazon, you know, Apple, Google, Facebook. Those are just the big companies. And then you start going down to the Fortune 1000 and then 5000. I mean, there are so many companies out there and they can benefit from educating our next, you know, future workforce that, you know, the more involved, the merrier.
So what, I got to ask, what's your target date? Like when are we getting this rolling? When are we making this happen, Joe? When is it going down?
You know, I think if you ask my board that next week, it would be good. But
so realistically, Joe, when is it going down?
You know, it ideally, my first go at it, I want to do a smaller kind of test run. I want to make sure the model works and if we need to tweak anything. So I'll probably pull this little scaled back version down one. I'll probably pull, you know, half of my normal, you know, exhibitors and whatnot. But, you know, if I can get something this spring, end of school year, I'd love it. But I would love something for sure on the books no later than fall this year.
Fall this year. Yep. Right. So you guys got a little bit of time, but I expect some folks to be reaching out to me to ask how they can help. Because yes. You guys are always asking how you can help. I'm now going to tell you how you can help. You know, I expect you to pay good on that.
Angela's ridiculously popular on LinkedIn, so why don't you send those to me? Because I have like... I only have a speck of her
inbox.
I only have a speck of her connection. So hit me up instead. But yeah, no. And then
tell me. So I was going to ask though, how do people get involved? So come on.
Yeah,
tell me.
No problem. No, so website. Basically, once you listen out to the radio station here, you'll see it on their LinkedIn page. They put my LinkedIn page on there, which has my numbers, my email address. We do have a sign up sheet so you can follow us, get some, you know, up to date information. But my email is right there on the website. Hit me up anytime. Anybody that has suggestions, ideas, sponsor opportunities, contact suggestions, I'm all ears for this. You know, we have a blank slate right now. We have a blank sheet of paper and we want to build something. And like I said, you know, earlier with the advisory council, every market's going to be different. So, I mean,
I know I'm on your advisory council already. Oh, yeah, I shouldn't have to ask, right?
No, okay. I think you're pretty much like the president of the advisory council. But no, I mean, it's every market's going to be different because, you know, every shortage and landscape is going to be different in every city, right? And that's what we actually learned running our technology events. But,
so do you change the industry? So and talk about that, right? So we're looking at different markets in Phoenix. And we're looking at, I mean, there used to be what in Detroit used to be the heart of the car dealerships, right? So so you're focusing on the different locations based on the industries for that. That's amazing.
Correct.
I like that idea.
Correct. Yeah.
So you don't want to set them up for a job that they're going to have to move their family clear across the United States.
Well, and that's just kind of like, you know, I use Silicon Valley a lot. You know, and Google, Facebook, all of them are based out there. It's kind of like, you know, you don't necessarily need to showcase Google and Facebook out there because
they have enough exposure.
Well, even though they have probably a ton of jobs available, I just don't think the pile of resumes is a short.
Right. You know, I think everyone wants to work.
I think
Facebook
that inbox. I think that inbox is pretty full. But where you have a shortage in Silicon Valley would be your trades. I mean, your construction trade. You know, hire a contractor, hire an HVAC person, hire an electrician, a plumber. You'll probably be waiting quite a while to get something like that done because there's a bigger shortage there than there are of tech workers. And that's just Silicon Valley. You know, Phoenix is going to be an example. Dallas, I mean, you just name it. Any market that has a need, we're interested, we're listening, and I'm checking my emails.
All right. Well, Joe, we're running out of time, so I want to thank you, my dear friend, for chatting with us. It has been a joy. I am always amazed at your passion. I hope I can steal a little bit of it from you every time I see you. Just take it home to my kids. So I think it's amazing. Phoenix Business Radio X, I want to thank you for letting me do this, the first launch here. It's amazing. Karen Nowicki, you are not only a dear friend, but you are somewhat of a mentor to me because I tell you,
awesome.
I don't know how you do what you do, but you touch so many lives. So I think that's amazing. You can follow us on social media. I have sent the link out for Phoenix Business Radio X. For those of you who hadn't had a chance to check that out, please do. Future Workforce Foundation. Again, Future Workforce Foundation. You should be following them. If you're already following me, then you know, obviously I'm not going to reiterate that. But I do hope to introduce some more folks, you know, just like Joe, who want to help people be their best them and chase their dream, chase their passion, and you know, not necessarily get stuck in a career that's not something that they wanted to do with all their heart. So on that note, you can tune in on the fourth Friday of every month at 3 p.m. Arizona time to High Hopes Radio. Y'all take care.